We just have to look around us and we can see we do not live in a perfect world. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus gives us the prescription to heal broken relationships. But because of human nature, we have to deal with them in varying degrees and steps. But it all starts with communication. Jesus also reminds us that when we do gather and invite him in, he will be in the midst of us. One of the key things that Jesus shows is for us to be in community. He said, "I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Or there I am with them. Did you catch that? Two words. I am. He's telling you, he's God. And he will be with us. In the Old Testament, he promised he would never leave us or forsake us. People want to know where God is in the midst of this storm. He's holding on to you. When you invite him into the situation, when two or three gather together, he's there in the midst of it. And there's a sense of harmony. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 tells us that at the forefront of relationships must be love. But it needs to be genuine. There can't be any lukewarm. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus warns about being lukewarm and says, as an example to the church at Laodicea, "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." That's the nice way of saying it. That's Revelation 3:16. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be any part of any wishy-washy, lukewarm situation. If it's got to do with God, I want to be hot. If it's got to do with good, I want to be hot. And it goes hand in hand with the message of today's Holy Gospel from Matthew and the Epistle to the Romans by Paul, encouraging us to live in harmony with one another. If you've got a problem with a friend or a family member, time doesn't help if you let it simmer. Go to them in love and try to heal it. And if that doesn't work, Jesus gives us the rest of the prescription. That's not just for the first century, that's for all time. Every time Jesus met with his apostles, especially after he rose from the dead, he offered them his peace, or shalom, showing an example of putting one's pride aside. And on more than one occasion, he told them, and he told us, to not only love God, but to love your neighbor as yourself. In last week's sermon, I asked two questions. How can I love my neighbor when sometimes I don't even like him or her? If I really don't like someone, how can I love them? And then if I'm commanded to love them and try to act as if I do, doesn't that make me a hypocrite? Well, let me tell you, agape, or unconditional love, takes work. It also takes some thick skin and a whole lot of patience. Isn't it amazing how we see people rise up to the occasion when confronted with the weekend that we're about to have? I mean, when you hear Walmart is closing today at 5 o'clock and it's going to be closed till Tuesday, do you know why? It's not to be mean. They're caring for the people who work for them so that they can be with their families. This is not a, oh, it'll pass over storm. And it's time for us to rise to the occasion. For the second year in a row, the people of this city and county have responded by providing shelter and meals for strangers. People that we don't even know, and we're recognizing their needs and responding. I've seen members of many different churches and civic organizations Rise up and help to prepare meals. Serve meals. Help to set up 1,500 cots in the Central Square Gym. Donating food, snacks, blankets, diapers, hygiene products, and even money. This is the kind of love that Paul's talking about. A genuine love. Now, during this past week, on your behalf, I've been privileged to see and experience the emergency preparedness of this community, attending EMA meetings, getting weather updates from the National Weather Service in meetings, online during a conference call, as well as plans from FEMA and GEMA, and all of the first responders in this community, police and fire, EMTs, nurses, DFECs, local government, churches, all ready to take care of people of this community. Never was there a question of why, but instead, discussions have always been, how can we accomplish what we need to do to take care of our people? And those who have evacuated their homes and come to our county or city, how do we take care of them? Our mayor of the city of Douglas wants everyone to know that through faith, we're going to be okay. The words from Paul, I've seen in progress, and we'll see in action during the next few days. Pastors from churches throughout the Coffee County Ministerial Association are on a schedule, 2 hours to spend in the shelter in case anyone wants to pray or just talk. I want you to listen to these words. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another as yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's from today's reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 10 to 13. Hope. We can't walk around with a mopey face. We can't be Eeyores, parents whose kids know about Winnie the Pooh. We can't be that way. If you have the joy of the Lord in you, show it. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. You're good people who care about each other. But as leaders in this community, we need to round up the same feeling within our community to help however you can, volunteering to help in one of so many ways. And the biggest one is praying for those who've had to leave everything, sharing with God's people who are in need. Maybe donating food or financial support to the effort. The Red Cross is providing bedding and supervising the food preparation. You know, legally, you can't bring a casserole because that can't be served. The food has to be prepared under watchful eye of supervision. It's federally required under supervision. So the kitchens, which have been certified over at First Baptist, are being used to prepare all the food. Hey, if you have canned peaches and you want to donate them, bring them over to First Baptist. They'll use them. And they'll gratefully say thank you. They're making 3 meals a day for the people who might seek shelter. Last night, at about 1 o'clock in the morning, people were looking for snacks and expecting something. I don't know what it's like to be taken out of my home, not knowing what's going to be left. But we can try to help that. And last year, we witnessed an amazing response by this community during Hurricane Matthew. When times like this come upon us, it takes me immediately to Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats. Are you familiar with that? It's Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 36, in which he says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Whether we like how they look, or even if we don't like them, Jesus wants us to care for them. And Paul speaks from his heart on this. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. That's from today's reading from Romans 12, verse 20. It doesn't have to be at a shelter. It might be an elderly neighbor that lives near you who just might want to know that you're praying for them, that you're caring for them, and that you're there for them. That's important. Or someone you know who is alone and sure could use someone to check up on them, especially after the storm. Now, I've been in cities where there's hurricanes and cities where there's blizzards with feet of snow. I'm not kidding, like 3 feet of snow that you couldn't even shovel. And the one thing that we have in common is the human heart. In each of these incidents, people have risen above their differences and instead have concentrated on overcoming the great need and tragedies that arose. Now, I could stand here and tell you stories, but I promised it would be shorter. Of overlooking barriers of race, creed, public standing, and more, and instead pulling together, working together to fill the needs that existed at that time. Amazingly, going differences and concentrating on fixing the problems together. We don't live in a perfect world, but Paul encourages us with these words. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. It may not be a perfect world, but with God's help, we can overcome any obstacle by working together by God's grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.